Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy. We're going to continue in our study today. The book of 1 Timothy. Paul's writing instruction to Timothy, not only to be an encouragement to him, but as it is giving him instruction for the local church, understanding the foundation of how it is to operate and what it is to operate upon. And as we've come down to verse number 4, where we'll pick up today, I'd like us to begin from the first verse and read on down through verse 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. This morning we're going to talk about the fables, the endless genealogies. But just to point out that on a high level and the basis for everything is if you look, he first talks about that they teach no other doctrine. We've already discussed and seen how that's Paul's doctrine. And that's Paul's doctrine that Timothy's supposed to be building upon. That's the truth for today. And then he goes on and he says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Those other things will not produce the godly edification. But Paul is saying it's the doctrine, it is his doctrine that will produce the edification today in the church and the body of Christ. So let's look at what he's warning against when he says that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables. We started talking about that last week, and fables is, there's a couple of different connotations there. You could have the superstitious talk of fables and saying that God did this or that when, you know, it's just your experience. And if you don't have a verse in the book to say that that's what God did or that's how he operates, it would be best not to be attributing things to him. But people today, I think that in a sense, we have immature Christians today who don't understand the Word of God. And in an attempt to be spiritual, they say things that sound spiritual. But in reality, by bringing God into it, or God did this, or God did that, or these type of things, when in reality, they wind up doing more harm than good. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The edification process, we build our beliefs upon the Word of God, not upon fables. People talk about the will of God, but very little do we hear about people talking about the will of our adversary. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us that the will of Satan and his plan for your life, it's for believers to be held captive in error. We already talked about that when we went through the doctrine and we saw in Genesis and how when God communicated doctrine to man, the very first thing that Satan did, the adversary, is he comes along and he attacks the doctrine. He wants people to be held in error, because if you're in error, you're going to oppose yourself. You have a certain identity in Christ. And so today in the dispensation of grace, the adversary is trying to put you back under the law, what Paul warns about in Galatians. And so Satan wants you to oppose who you really are in Christ and bring you back into error. And Paul is saying you have to stick with the doctrine in order to combat that. So would teaching you are under the law, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. And the question is, if we're going to see as we go down through the verse here, the verses that Paul talks about those desiring to be teachers of the law, and if you were desiring to put people under the law, wouldn't that be opposing who you really are? Galatians chapter 5 says in verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. You know that circumcision program is the law program, right? So he's talking about being back under bondage, being back under the law, being back under Israel's program. Christ shall profit you nothing, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So if you put yourself back under the law, you lose the ability of having grace, the doctrine, working your life unto edification. There's a warning here. Don't go under these fables and genealogies. Turn back to, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You're having people who are being deceived by fables. Deceived by fables. And not only deceived, some people are wanting the fables. They desire them. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to look at verses 2 through 4. And the context for this, I want you to think about, if you think today that there's that the Bible's not relevant, you know, you want a relevant church, and Paul here is warning against fables, don't you think that fables are being taught in churches today? Absolutely. Paul says here in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Not just doctrine, but sound doctrine, Timothy. It has to be the right doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, a couple of things I want to point out here. You notice this is not people wanting to get rid of the teaching. So I pointed out last week, the week before, I often think when people look at the Bible, the people out there who are putting themselves under the law and denominationalism, and they come through the Bible and they read these verses, warnings about going away from the doctrine, I think that they're talking about people who just reject the Bible altogether. I think they think that the Bible's warning against atheists or people who are just against the Bible. What Paul is warning about is the right doctrine, his doctrine. And what you notice here is that these are not people that are wanting to get rid of the teachers. They want the teachers. But the teachers they're listening to, they want it to be the teachers they want. They want it to be what they want to hear. They want it to be the teachers who are after their own lusts and after the fleshly program. Not of abject sin, the atheists, but of law. You know, it's the Catholicism, the people who they feel good by going through that ritualism. They think that that's what cleanses them, and they feel they have a part in it, and so it appeals to them. But this is what Titus calls Jewish fables. This is not talking about people who are, you know, atheists per se. This is talking about the churchgoers, the people in the church there that Timothy is ministering to, and some of them are the denominations today that want to put you under the law. They're teaching things that are fables, genealogies, things that are not based upon truth. And the fables that I heard, when I think back, I heard fables taught. I didn't hear the Bible taught, I heard fables taught. And the fables that I heard taught were all fables unto condemnation. That you weren't living your life up to the right righteous standard. And so there'd be a story that was taught. I mean, we said fables is a story that has a meaning to it. And so you'd hear a story taught, and the story would have a meaning at the end that would bring you unto condemnation. That you're not living the right life, and you need to come down to the altar, you need to repent, and you need to get right with God. And these were the stories, the fables being taught. They have no idea what it means to live by Paul's doctrine of grace and your identity in Christ. And they want it to be what makes your flesh feel good. And grace is the only power source to overcome sin. And so if you hear something that's trying to give you another source to overcome sin, you're listening to a fable. You're listening to something that's not true. You're listening to something that's not based in Paul's doctrine. So they have not endured sound doctrine. They've gone the way that the Galatians have, what Paul was warning against. They've left the doctrine that Paul has committed unto Timothy, and they're now reaching for the law. So notice what verse 4 says here. It says, "And they shall turn away their ears," these people who are looking for these teachers, "they're going to turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Turning away from the truth and turning unto fables. And now I want you to go back and look at 1 Timothy, and I want to show you how this is consistent with what Paul is saying back in 1 Timothy. He says, now the end of the verse 5 of 1 Timothy, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." That's the good part, if you teach no other doctrine. But verse 6, "from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling." They've turned aside, just like he warned in 2 Timothy. Just they've turned their ears to something else, and they've turned aside from the sound doctrine. They're turning away from the truth. They don't even want to listen to it. You hear that today, right? We sit around and we talk and we share truth with people, and you find that people don't even want to hear it. And we ask the question among ourselves, how can they not even want to hear it? They want to hear stories. They want to hear things based upon human experience. They want to be led away with their desires. They want the performance system. Why do they want performance? I think I heard not too long after I started coming here, and I heard Richard say one time, he said, "Religion makes you feel good when you do it, and they'll excuse you when you don't." And coming from where I came from, I'm like, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. Religion makes you feel good when you do it. But when they put you in that religious system, they know that nobody holds that righteous standard, so they'll just excuse you when you don't. Now, what was the penalty under the law for when you don't? But they don't uphold that part of the law, do they? The penalty is death. And so what you have is a bunch of people today trying to teach the law, but teaching their version of the law, and not upholding the penalty to those people who they're putting under the law, because they themselves, the teacher of the law, know that he doesn't uphold the law perfectly. So therefore, when somebody in this congregation then, you know, doesn't uphold that part of the law, then, you know, they'll let it slide, but, oh, you better be trying. They better see the effort. You better be here on Sunday. You better be tithing. You better be doing this. You better be doing that. And then if you happen to do something over here, oh, well, we'll forget it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. So these fables are stories which carry ideas, but that doesn't mean that you can't use illustrations. But I do want you to see something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Not handling the word of God deceitfully. The manifestation of the truth. And where's that truth coming from? Right? It's got to be based upon the truth. It's not coming from fables. You're manifesting the truth, the source of the truth, which is the book. 2 Peter, that walking in craftiness there, when Peter says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." That's not how they went about to do it. They're not devising fables. That's what people who reject Christianity will try to make it out to be. It's a bunch of men who have devised a fable which they have followed. That's the opposite of the truth. So we're talking about edification. We're talking about it's not based upon stories. It's based upon truth. It comes from God's word. And then in the context of Paul writing to Timothy, it's in the context of how the local ministry is supposed to operate. So how do you do the work of the ministry? Do you do it by spinning stories and talking about hypotheticals, just getting to, along together and gossiping and coming together for you know, just the social aspect? No, the point of the ministry, as Paul talked about, was the doctrine. What you want is truth, commending yourself to the truth. And as you preach the truth of the glory and grace of God, people that love that and come to understand that will be changed by it. That grace will work through them. They'll see it, and they'll love it, and it'll change their lives. But people who want religion and in their flesh, they don't do that. They want the things that appeals to the flesh. Understanding coming by grace, you understand you have nothing to offer. It's all in what God has done. And you're grateful for the grace that He has, and then you study to show yourself approved, and you have that grace life working through you according to the doctrine. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, you should be right there. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We're not looking to corrupt it. We're looking to speak it in truth. The fables will corrupt it, because the fables are not speaking truth. The fables, the stories, the speculative questions, they do not bring stability in your life. You need to have your inner man edified by what it is that God is doing today. And as Christ is formed in you, it'll be His life lived out through you, not fables, not stories, not your emotions. In the local assembly, stick with the doctrine. Have that be what edifies you, and you live your life based upon that, not upon fables, not upon stories. So I'd like to real quickly try to talk about this piece of endless genealogy. So he's talking about the fables, the stories, and then the endless genealogies, and sometimes people talk about what does that really mean. And he's definitely referring to false teaching, but in what sense? And if you think about the broad sense of things, Paul has taught Timothy, he's teaching him grace as opposed to law. And he's warning against the law, and he's teaching him grace. And here, things are concerned in 1 Timothy with the church, the body of Christ, how it's supposed to operate. And the concern is that people would revert to the circumcision program, to the law. And in Israel, go back to Matthew. I'll just show you a quick example. You know, Israel was really big on their genealogies. And why was that? Well, if I was a Jew, I'd want to be big on my genealogy too, because if I was a seed of Abraham, then I had access to God. And so I would want to hold on to that. In Matthew, but what happened with Israel? It devolved into the fact that, well, because I'm the seed of Abraham, I'm entitled to the blessing. And then they just kept the law from a fleshly aspect and not in a way to please God. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 9. Start in verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Israel had a wrath that was going to be poured out upon them through the tribulation period before they could enter into the kingdom. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. There's their genealogy. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. How would you like to have that as your genealogy? My father was a stone. Maybe he could be one of those pretty stones from over in Petoskey or whatever those really, really nice stones. But the point being is that here he's warning them to flee from the wrath to come. They're thinking that just because they're of the stock of Abraham, that they're entitled. They're entitled to it all. And they did not have the heart attitude towards God. They didn't recognize their Messiah. And he said, if that's what you're counting on, just the fact that you're the seed of Abraham, you know, that wrath is going to come and be poured out upon you. You don't think within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. God's able to raise up other children than Abraham, but rather do what I say. Love me. Who am I? Believe upon me. And that's what Christ was telling to Israel. So there's a practical application of the genealogy where the bloodlines were important to Israel. That's who you could, you know, in Scripture, the Jews would pay homage to personalities. But we, for us, it's not about the person business, right? It's not about idolizing an individual in the church. We're all equal. We're all one. We're all equal members of the body of Christ. We all have same functions. We're not about the people business. We don't elevate people. We elevate one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us from our sins. He formed the church, the body of Christ, and that's what we operate in. It's not about our genealogies. I mean, it's not about my earthly father. It's my heavenly father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has given me life. It's not about tracking my genealogies back. I brought this morning as an example. You guys didn't know I was such Southern royalty blood, but I have a genealogy book here that you're familiar with the Hatfield-McCoy. A little bit of a conflict, right? Well, my blood traces back to on the Hatfield side. So Devil Ants Hatfield was my great uncle from six generations ago. So, you know, we come from the same heritage, and, you know, maybe that's why I'm a little hot-blooded like he was. I don't know. But the point being is, you know, you could sit there and you could play the game with the genealogy, but is that meaningful? It's not. But more specifically in this context here of what Paul is talking to Timothy about is, wouldn't there be a concern that the Jews would then try to pull those people back under the law? And how would they go about doing it? Well, I'm a son of Abraham. Who are you? Who are you? So the Jews had always attached much importance to their genealogies, but neither the relating of stories nor their inquiries into genealogies served to produce godly edifying. That's not what produced it. If it did, then you would see a very godly group of people when Christ showed up on the scene in the book of Matthew. But that's not what you find. Back to 1 Timothy. Get 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and then 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Timothy, in that verse where he's talking about the fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions. You know, I study the Bible to have my questions answered. I don't study the Bible to generate more questions. Now, I have to be careful how I say that, because often when I study the Bible, it generates more questions, but I'm learning, and as I learn more things, it creates more questions as I learn. But endless genealogies, the fables, it doesn't settle anything, does it? It just generates questions. And as I think about what the doctrine is to be built upon, and I think about that issue of ministering questions, the thing that came to my mind is, if you want to talk about fables that minister questions, how about the fable of no final authority today? No final authority of what the doctrine is, where it comes from, of having a God's word that you could hold in your hand, the myth of only the originals are inspired, and all of our new versions are super, and they're just upgraded the archaic language. And when you would read through those Bibles and compare them, you talk about endless questions. Endless questions. Ministering questions rather than godly edifying. They erode the doctrine. They erode God's truth. But anyway, that's just a side point. When I read that, that's the first thing that came to mind. The things that people are saying today, the fables, the issue of the preservation of God's Scripture for us, generating questions. But then I want to look at, you have 1 Timothy there, verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So now we have the antithesis of the other items. We have the antithesis of the negatives. We have now, what should you be doing, Timothy? It's the godly edification. So a few questions. What is edification? Well, first of all, these things that we just read about, the fables and endless genealogies, they don't minister questions. But I asked you to get 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Edification, as you probably know, edification is the idea of building something, a building, a structure. So there's more in the Bible than just knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when you have this statement that Paul makes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I think that you have people today, and I've heard it said, "Well, we don't divide over doctrine. I just know that, you know, Christ died on the cross," and they just stick with this, and almost like they're using it as an excuse. "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Well, if we can just agree that Jesus Christ was crucified, then we shouldn't be dividing over doctrine. But when I look at that, I don't see that being particularly a compliment to the Corinthians. Because you see that he said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He goes on and look at what he says in chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." He says, "I'm preaching Christ crucified because that's all you can get. That's all you're able to handle. You can't go on to the spiritual matters." So this issue of we're just going to agree on this one thing and forget the doctrine. What I'm trying to say is that's not the edification process for the local church. The edification process is to have the doctrine working through you. And so that's a lie and that's a myth, and you should reject it when you hear people say, you know, something along the lines of, "Well, can't we all just get along and let's just agree on the basics, or let's agree on the fundamentals and forget everything else." That's what people are going towards today. Because people like the numbers and the money and the power that comes from having a lot of people rather than truth. So be careful. Be on guard for that. The work of faith is godly edification in the believer. And the last thing I wanted to cover this morning is if you go to 1 Timothy, I want to look at some verses in Timothy when you're talking about fables and endless genealogies rather than the godly edifying. I want you to look at some of these vain words and the fables and the warning from Paul to Timothy of this vanity. And I want you to see the issue is the issue of words that are just vanity versus what Paul is talking about, things that produce edification. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. We're talking about fables. Right, we're talking about these genealogies versus the edification. He says in 1 Timothy 4, 7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Well, that's convenient. Let me just put it on my wife and say it's her fables. So we just need to avoid the old wives' fables, right? No, the point is that there's profanity. What is profanity? It's when you take something that has a meaning and you make it common, right? You use it. You use words to describe things that aren't really what it is. "But refuse the profane and old wives' fables." Get rid of the fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And how is that godliness going to come about? Is it going to come about just based upon your feelings? "Well, I think it would be godly if I did this. What would Jesus do?" That's not how you produce godliness. We know that it comes through the truth of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse number 4. Verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words." We're talking about words. The words matter. The words mean something. We should avoid the profanity because words mean something. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, those will be the words committed unto Paul, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. What doctrine is according unto godliness? Is it putting yourself back under the law? Oh, foolish Galatians. It is not. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. You remember what he said that the fables and endless genealogies would minister? Questions. Strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings. That's where the vanity will lead. Look at verse number 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. You see how that issue of fables, it just runs all throughout the letter. It is a warning. It's simple, and in a sense, it's complex. It's simple in the fact that Paul is communicating a very simple message to Timothy. Here is how the church is to be structured, and here is how the edification of the church happens through the doctrine. Now, of course, you get into the details, you get into the verses, and you can study them forever to learn from them. So in that sense, it's complex. But the simplicity is avoid the stories. Avoid the vain babblings. That's just going to minister questions. And rather, Timothy, focus on the doctrine. And where's that going to come from? People today, you may hear of a fable of, oh, there was an angel that came down from heaven and I got these stones from them. And so therefore, we all packed up our bags and moved to Utah. Or, you hear these fables that come about that people base their lives upon rather than basing it upon the truth. Paul says, though we another angel from heaven teach any other doctrine. He says, you remove yourself from that. There's a source from truth. They've completely rejected this source of truth to go with that one. Now, of course, they use their book in accordance with this one when the two don't mix. But the point being is that these fables and profane and vain babblings, look at 2 Timothy. It didn't stop with Paul's first epistle to Timothy. It continues in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says in verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, I will admit there are times when I think about God's word and I think about things that I don't have a basis to believe them on. Does that make sense? What was God doing in eternity past? You know, things like that I just think upon, but those are not things that bring about profit, right? If you're going about to establish profit, you don't go around in the areas on which God has not spoke. You stay upon the sound doctrine. That's where the edification is going to come from. It's going to be understanding what Christ did for you, who he made you, and now what your purpose is. And you stick with that. Look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So there was some profane and vain babblings coming in, some fables, and these two people caught on to that, and they went with that, and it led them to the point where they thought that the resurrection had passed already, and they had got caught up in error. So Paul lays out the structure of what the church is to look like. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, he tells you what the offices are of the local church. He goes on to then talk about the congregation and that the local church is the manifestation of the body of Christ. And he tells you what your foundation is, what he built his foundation upon, what the church is to be built upon, what that foundation is, and it's the doctrine. And it's Paul's doctrine for today. So in edification, there's a bit of a process. First, you get educated, or you come to an understanding of what Paul's gospel is, what the grace of God is, what Christ did for you. And then you understand, you come to the point where you move on past that and you understand what God is doing today. You'll meet a lot of people who understand what Christ did for them. But then the next part of the edification process, they never get to the point where they understand what God's doing today. That's why we're here at Grace Bible Church. We have an understanding of God's purposes for the heaven and for the earth and what He's doing with the body of Christ today. And then you come to Romans 16, where it talks about the scriptures of the prophets. And there he's not talking about the Old Testament prophets, but he's talking about the prophets when the scripture was being formed in the New Testament and then what we have. And so you have the totality. You start with the basics. You understand the grace of God. Then you understand what God is doing in and through you and what His purpose is for today. And then you move on beyond that and you understand the totality of God's Word. But the work of the ministry and what the simple thing that Paul is trying to get across is the work of the ministry is the edification of the body. And the edification does not come about through fables or endless genealogies or the teaching of the law. It comes about, Timothy, by teaching the Word of God rightly divided, understanding the doctrine. Build the church upon that, Timothy. That's the first thing he covers in 1 Timothy. And then he goes on and tells, these are the people you put in position, and this is what the congregation, and here's what you do in some of the details. But none of that will matter if you're not basing it upon the right doctrine. And if you don't believe Paul, just look out in the world today, because there's a lot of people that's tried to take the structure without the foundation. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We're thankful for Your Word, Lord. May we be edified by it. May we understand the things that You teach us through it. And Lord, may we live out Your life through us, completely void of ourselves, and putting Your life on display. We thank You for these things, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.